We are stricken by an advanced case of nuclear paralysis. Or we might recognize the truth about our situation, but we find it too painful or too inconvenient, so we censor it from our mind. We deny it. Instead, we believe that denial will cause our lives to be more comfortable, because we can't carry on life as normal under the shadow of the bomb. Its presence is totally distracting, totally depressing. And so, feeling that the nuclear situation is incomprehensible, or by ignoring its reality because to admit to it would lead only to despair, causes apathy, that terminal disease which will probably kill us off. The vision we have of a nuclear disaster, or the vision we seek to put out of our mind, scares us, and therefore we refuse to let it enter our subconsciousness, and we live like we have not seen the skull and crossbones on the wall. And even our paralysis is a kind of self-indulgence. There is something soothing and consoling about it, like shock after a massive injury. It excuses us from having to act and numbs us from the pain of impending horror. But it is also a great deception. One thing that always seemed to vindicate the prophets after they had told of the bleak future that awaited Israel was that they always added a redeeming feature, a redeeming clause that goes something like, "But this doesn't have to end here in gloom, Israel. There is another ending that is possible. There is good news for our situation, too. I think that the key to beginning to find a solution to our global problem lies in the power of our ability to visualize alternatives. On this Peace Pentecost, we have a motivating vision of the power of God and of His Spirit, and here in Ezekiel, we again see something of what we are talking about. Ezekiel continues with his vision. Once again, get that picture of those very dry, very dead bones. After the prophet has made the people utterly aware of their utter despair apart from God's help, he brings them a message of hope. Yahweh's question to the prophet points out our seeming hopelessness too. Can these bones live? Ezekiel, knowing the utter hopelessness of the situation of his people, declares, "Only with you, Lord." And God then promises the impossible, that these bones will indeed live. That is, that God will bring Israel out of exile. Even these bones, and even death, will not set a limit to the manifestation of God's power. With your best visionary powers, feel the power radiating from the valley of the bones, as in powerful and striking imagery, God summons the bones together and the skeletons take on flesh. Then, like as Adam, God brings human form to life by breathing into them his breath of life. God's Spirit, his breath, empowers the lifeless bones, awaking them to life. The graveyard where death appears victorious is taken in surprise attack by God's Spirit, who brings about a victory for life. The valley, which has been a place of judgment, becomes a place of triumph. Coming back to our contemporary vision, if we have any hope for survival, it is not in the existence of any supposed built-in restraint in the momentum of our race towards extinction. If we must depend on further technology and politics, we might as well spare ourselves the disappointment. If we dare to hope, it is in the fact that God's mercy is greater than human folly, and that given the proper warning, after having our noses rubbed in the reality, the bleak reality of our situation, humans are capable of reforming their hearts. for divine prophecies warn us against worldly optimism, against the mania for progress, and against the utopian attempt to realize on this earth a kingdom of universal bliss. True prophecies, true visions call us to repentance, prayer, and trust in the victory of Christ, hope in God eternal. We ask, can these bones live, or better yet, in our contemporary jargon, what's this world coming to? In our culture, often filled with despair, we have a message of hope that the power of God will transform, renew, create his people. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, says the gospel writer John. That is the vision of Pentecost, that there is a way out of our valley of dry bones. There is a river of living waters to resuscitate them. Like Ezekiel, John too uses picture language to describe the inexhaustible supply that will meet our needs, revive our hopes. And John says that the Spirit is a river of life with no droughts, no dry seasons or shortages. In the Old Testament lesson, the Spirit made the difference between life and death by empowering the bones. In Christ, we are empowered with hope, joy, and peace. We pray, create in me a clean heart, O God, and give me a new spirit. This is what Jesus Christ offers us by his death and resurrection. The good news is that repentance is a gift of God's grace that is available to all of us. And that gift produces a profound inward change concerning our attitudes, which expresses itself in action. That opportunity for repentance and change of heart concerning our attitudes toward war and peace is available to each of us today. For some of us, the cost of repentance will be high. Our jobs will in one way be affected, jeopardizing our financial security. But we must bring our fears to consciousness and pray for the gift of boldness and freedom to follow Christ, the Prince and Champion of our peace. What we need to visualize are not simply streams, but rivers of new energy flowing into the movement for peace. And it is by the converting power of the Holy Spirit which will generate this energy in fantastic amounts. For in the Holy Spirit alone do we find the ability for our dry bones to rise up from our valleys of death and proclaim life. It is only by clinging in faith to our predetermined vision of the future ushered in by Christ that we can match our grim global prospect with an alternative vision. Short of the kingdom itself, we will not find a world without violence, one of absolute peace, of political perfection. But we also rejoice in knowing that our present state is not our final one. Life, not death, is God's will for his people, and the affirmation and continuation of life is that which we are called to envision, proclaim, and protect as responsible children of God and of his earth. Some of our modern-day visionaries have already articulated key elements of such a vision. Senators Hatfield and Kennedy campaigned to simply freeze all further testing, production, and deployment of nuclear weapons as a step toward total disarmament. The United Nations will convene its second session on disarmament this June, and hundreds of thousands of people are expected to march in support of the renewed movement for peace in New York, June 12th. Can we, as people of faith, also visualize the churches organizing the mightiest grassroots campaign in our history, praying, studying the scripture, educating themselves on the realities of nuclear war, organizing, demonstrating, supporting each other in the long-term struggle, and linking the nuclear issue to the other concerns of the Church for Justice. The good in every prophecy or vision is ultimately shown if it wakens us to the gravity of decision we need to make in courageous faith. If it makes clear to us that the world is in a deplorable state, which we often hesitate to admit. If it steals our patience and fortifies our faith that God has triumphed, even if in this world we still have distress. If it fills us with confidence in the one Lord of the still secret future. If it brings us to prayer, conversion of heart, and to faith that nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ. All of us must cling to the good news that God has been ceaselessly active in our history, and that he does have an overall plan for carrying out his vision of the kingdom. Each of us must commit ourselves to help him as he brings it to conclusion. Get this vision clear. Get excited about it. When you have a vision that has hold of you, which has grasped you and excited you, it will cause energy, rivers of life, to draw other people into it with you. Visions and our ability to visualize the kingdom must not die. We proclaim a kingdom of peace. We should live now as if it were here already in its fullness. For it has already been planted among us by Jesus. We make the vision of the kingdom real by living as if it is true. The people of the church, the body of Christ, is different because our lives have been transformed by the work of God's Spirit. Let us continue beyond this time to pray for the gift of prophecy and act on the vision that God has set before us. God's Spirit hovered over chaos and affected his good creation. God still hovers over our chaos, reminding us that he is ceaselessly active in our world, working in and through his body, the church, to usher in the ultimate vision of peace. May you be empowered by the Spirit of God to go out and proclaim to a world cowering in terror and standing on the edge of disaster that they can, with the help of God, stand up and live. Be careful about what you visualize and about what you believe. It might come true. In the name of Christ, amen.
Let us confess our faith together to Almighty God. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. Third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And then she shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you formed us from the dust in your image and likeness, and redeemed us from sin and death by the cross of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through the water of baptism, you clothed us in the shining garment of Christ's righteousness and established us as your children in your kingdom. We rejoice in this unmerited gift of love, and our praise for you will never end. On this day of Pentecost, O Lord, you opened the way of eternal life to every race and every nation by the promised gift of your Holy Spirit. Grant us by that same Spirit that we may reach to the ends of the earth with our praise for you and with our witness to your teaching. We ask that you will grant us the strength we need to speak out in your name among a world which is moving so quickly to self-destruction. We pray that your Spirit be with us and give us the confidence to know that you do hear us and do act on our behalf. On this Peace Sunday, we join with our brothers and sisters from other countries of the world in prayer for peace. We ask that you guide the leaders of all nations into peace and that you help us build bridges of trust instead of instruments of destruction. Lord, you made us to be one family, ruled by peace, feasting in freedom, freed from injustice, truly human men and women, responsible and responsive in the life we lead, the love we share, and the relationships which we create. Share out among us your Spirit, that we each may burn with compassion for all who hunger for freedom and humanness, and that we may seek out and destroy all causes of war. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray now together the prayer of our Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. The blessing of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever.